Ní hé seo Michal agus ní hé seo Brendan ach is é seo an podchréile Cúig Nóid Ocht.
I am Mike Benedetti. We have Ken Peterson, an unidentified minor Padre, and Brendan Mellican. And it's September the 10th, 2010. This is 508. Thanks for being on the show, guys. Thanks for bringing your own subtitles. A very classy move. There's a lot of news in the city this week. Today's show is sponsored by WhereDoIVoteMA.com. They didn't actually give us any money, but Jack Stewart emailed in and said we should tell people about WhereDoIVoteMA.com. Brendan, do you know where you vote?
I do know where I vote.
Do you guys know where you vote?
Well, he's not old enough, but yes,
all right.
I do.
Well, what you could do is, whenever you're old enough to vote, is you could go to WhereDoIVoteMA.com, and it actually will tell you who you can vote for, who your current elected officials are, and what, like, senior citizen high-rise or school do you go to. Do people vote in churches?
Yeah, that's actually the polling place for this area is the Protestant church.
Right. All right. So you can tell I actually didn't vote in the last election, as threatened. What's going on this week, Brendan? Let me go over here for a second.
I don't know. I just see. I mean, from my perspective, everything is campaign based. Everyone ramping up for the primary.
I saw Mike Parrotto in Tatnik Square this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's done the sign, or at least somebody who looks like him.
Don Cherry's still been using the flipping signs every day, and I think I get another dozen or so mailings from mostly Margot this week, but other candidates as well.
There you go. Ken, I wanted to ask you, you have a class coming up.
That's right, starting on Thursday.
Tell me about that.
We've got a brand new location in Webster, Massachusetts. I'll be teaching the Irish language, which is the native language of Ireland. According to a recent census, over 1 million people are fluent in Irish. However, although it's the first language of the Irish Constitution, the de facto first language is now English.
Sure.
And on the ground, there are really only tens of thousands of people who use Irish daily. Unfortunately, there are probably far more people in America who have Irish at this stage than folks back in the old country. But anyway, we're starting up a new location in Webster. It's been 16 years since I last taught in that vicinity. Our classes will be at St. Constantine and Helen Parish Hall, just off of exit 1 on Route 395, which is about maybe 20 minutes south of Worcester. And folks are very welcome to join us. They can, if they're interested in more information, you can visit learnirish.org.
Okay.
And that will take you to our website, and just look for the location Webster and you'll find more information there, or you can also ring me at 508-797-9482 and I'll be happy to answer your questions.
Did you grow up speaking Irish?
No, I started learning in 1982. I was a young fella at the time, and we had classes going in Fitchburg at that time. And then shortly thereafter, a gentleman did some tutoring in Leominster, Massachusetts. And then there was a bit of a dry spell in the mid-80s, and then in the late 80s, we started up some classes in Worcester. There are actually still classes in Worcester, so for folks who don't want to go to Webster, you can check in with my colleagues at www.adtf.org,
okay.
And they've got classes going on as well.
Mm-hmm.
So either way, get yourself into an Irish class if you're Irish, or if you have any interest in Ireland at all. Take a little opportunity to learn the language of Ireland, and you might have better insights into the culture and the music, poetry, etc. It might be worth a look.
Cool. What do you like about the Irish language? What is it that attracts you to that?
Well, my initial attraction was historical research. I was interested in the history of Ireland, and I wanted to read some of the older historical materials that were written in Irish.
Mm-hmm.
I figured that to get to Old Irish, which is a very early form, learning Modern Irish would be a good path to get there. And I never got around to learning Old Irish. I stuck with the modern version.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of has opened up an aspect of the culture that that I really hadn't sought out, but I'm glad that I found it.
Mm. Any questions?
Yeah, you mentioned tens of thousands of people speaking now. Is it considered to be like an at-risk language when it comes to the, what are the demographics of people who do speak fluently? Are they aging? Is it an aging demographic, or are there enough young people where folks don't necessarily are worried about losing the risking losing the language and common usage or what have you? Is it
There's actually an interesting trend going on in Ireland now. There are schools that teach every subject through the medium of Irish called Gaelscoileanna.
Okay.
And so kids can be enrolled in these schools and not only learn their own native language, but learn every one of their subjects through Irish. So something like that, which has been going on for about a generation or so, is poised to combat the aging demographic that you were just discussing. But it is a somewhat endangered language. I don't think it will ever surpass English. I think the chance for that to happen has come and gone. But there's no reason that it couldn't sit alongside English, just like in Quebec. Mm-hmm. French sits right alongside English.
Yeah.
Hmm. Anything else on this topic?
I think we'll come back to it.
We'll come back to it. And if you guys have any comments on these stories we're bringing up today, butt in. That's how it works. Or make a little sign and I can politely work you in. City Square began to be demolished this week, right?
Monday. I have a dentist appointment, so I've been waiting 17 years for the wrecking ball to come.
For us to have a champagne party, unannounced. The formal demolition is going to be on the 13th.
Okay, so it's not Monday then. Monday is just the ceremonial day that we. Well, oh no, that is the.
It's the ceremonial day, but they actually knocked down part of the parking ramp, according to photographic evidence already.
Do we get to all bring down sledgehammers and whatnot and take a swing at
them? I don't know. I haven't seen anything talking about like a community-based bottom-up, not top-down, demolition of City Square. Nothing like that. Anyway, it's very exciting. I feel like, you know, I don't know. This is like one of these grand mental blocks in the city. Do you have any thoughts on the demolition of City Square?
I'd like to take the first swing.
That would be a great fundraiser.
It sure would.
I mean, they should have fireworks. I always imagine like Tim Murray actually like hanging on to like the wrecking ball as it swings down and whatnot. I mean, it should be a big spectacle.
Commemorative sledgehammers?
Gold-plated commemorative sledgehammers. That'd be a great way to raise money.
I would totally consider buying it. I mean, the bids would probably be too high. I would put in a bid though for a City Square demolition sledgehammer. Are you kidding me?
I was reminding Gary Rosen the other day that this was something that he lied to me about to my face at the debate that we had for mayor. Was it 4 years ago?
The one at the dive bar?
At the dive bar. Where, yeah. Gary said this would be done by now. But now here we are, we're just getting started. So still something to get excited about.
Maybe if he'd been elected mayor. That's all I have to say.
If Gary was mayor, this would have happened a long time ago.
A lot of things would be different in this city. Maybe for the better and maybe for the worse. The pit bull vote happened this week. And let me tell you something. First of all, I just want to mention Worcester Magazine on Tap, which is a cursed event, in my opinion. Because every time they have it, I say to myself, I'm going to go to the Worcester Magazine on Tap. I'm going to network with people. Yep. I'm going to hang out in a bar. I'm going to order a Shirley Temple or something and just kind of keep it mellow, but, you know, chat with people I don't know. And every single Thursday they have Worcester Magazine on Tap, some sort of amazing work or life crisis comes up in my life to curse me so that I can't go. And this happened again last night. So, as a result of this, I have no idea what's going on in the city today. But the pit bull vote happened.
The pit bull vote did happen.
And I have read a couple summaries of what happened, and I haven't gone back to the primary documents, and thus I don't feel confident explaining what happened. Do you feel confident explaining what happened?
No, I know it's not what I wanted to have happen.
It seemed like they voted for something, but like a lot of the details, they like decided we're actually not going
to
put them in.
It was a little confusing as to whether or not there's going to be some formal discussion as to whether or not what defines like a dangerous dog. Because it seems more like less a pit bull ban and more of a dangerous dog ban that includes pit bulls. But I know there was some debate on the council floor as to whether or not we should be bringing out outside experts to help us define what a dangerous dog is, or identify breeds that might easily fit into that title. But a few councillors wanted to keep it to themselves and apparently decided that they were capable of deciding which dogs should be included in this, and that will come at a later date, I understand. But this doesn't go into play until April 1st of next year.
Awesome. I don't know. I like the idea of voting on a piece of legislation of which huge amounts of it are like, we'll do this later. Because it's totally
busy right
it's now. Totally like the classic, like, something must be done. This is something. Therefore, let's do this. This is almost a pure example of that. Yeah. It's like, this is a piece of, I don't know. I mean, that was my sense, is that this is just a blank piece of legislation. But I don't actually have any idea.
I don't think it's going to change a whole heck of a lot.
I don't know. No. I kind of feel like on this show, the more mistakes we make when reporting stories, the better, because then people give us more detailed feedback.
It's really the only way we can figure out what's going on, is just to make things up and have people correct us.
There you go. I think the Canal Fest and the Pride Fest are this weekend. Is that right? Is the Canal Fest this weekend?
I believe so.
The Canal.
Pet Rock is as well, isn't that this weekend? On the 12th, I think it's Sunday.
Pet Rock is this weekend? It could be. I don't know.
Again, making things up. If you direct one of these events, correct us.
Give yourself some promotion.
This is the good time of year when there's so much stuff going on that I don't really feel any need to know what it all is or go to it all.
It's really only 2 weeks of the year that there's so much going on that you have to too much to attend. But,
You know, Scott Schaefer Duffy, friend of this show who's never been on this show, I think last week actually won the Monday night Kelly Square road race, which is like a 5K or something. This is an old man, and he actually won this race. So my feeling
is that the Canal Diggers?
5K? No. Oh. This is like that's coming up this weekend, I think.
Okay.
So I have a feeling he's going to win the Canal Diggers. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Congratulations, Scott.
There you go. Congratulations in advance. Maybe he won't. We have 504 Facebook friends. I feel like
five friends a week.
Well, you know, I was thinking if we reach 508 friends by next week's show, we'll give one randomly selected person a prize. We'll give you a choice of small prizes.
The power of the internet, though, it's pretty amazing that we're able to make that many friends in 1 week, right? I mean, in the real world, and could you four or five friends in 1 week other than the first day of school?
That's what I was going to say. If I moved to a new school, absolutely.
If you moved to a new school, yes, but otherwise, only through the internet could you make that many friends in 1 week.
Even though I didn't go to the Worcester Magazine on Tap, we have a blogger coffee coming up tomorrow morning. It's at the Friendlies in Tatnik Square at 9 a.m. on Friday, assuming that the Friendlies is open that early on Saturday. If it's not, well, there's a Dunkin' Donuts, we'll go over there. And that'll be good.
I'm going to do my best to be there.
We've actually already got more RSVPs than people have attended any previous blogger event in Worcester.
Really?
Yeah. So, like, it's totally possible that, like, I don't know. The other exciting thing is I'm really excited that we're doing it in, like, a semi-public place like that, where, like, maybe some of our mysterious trolling Worcester bloggers will sneak in. Mm-hmm. I totally encourage them to do that. Mm-hmm. If you're, like, one of those guys who posts angry things on the internet without putting your name on it, you should just, like, totally sneak in and then brag about how you snuck into Friendlies.
Absolutely.
Start of the Street is next week.
It is.
Is it started at the street? On the street?
I think they're still on the street.
On the
and
street.
And this is their biggest one. Every year they grow. This year they're extending all the way down, nearly all the way down to Highland Street. So it'll be pretty much from Highland to Pleasant Street. Much more space being taken up, apparently all being filled with vendors. It's going to be another good week. We should try and have someone on next week to talk about the event so we don't make stuff up and ruin their good day as well.
There you go. I don't know. Somebody wrote in on Facebook saying that we should talk about government 2.0 stuff.
I think we have, in a way, too. Because, I mean, we've talked about C-Click Fix in the past, you know, some of the other tools that folks in other areas and now Worcester are using to help citizens engage with, you know, government services and what have you. But we can make something up and talk more about it if you'd like.
I guess. Do you have any other topics for today? I thought we could mention Worcester Magazine a little bit today.
Sure.
Let me see if I have a Worcester Magazine issue here. What's in here? So, this week in The Pulse, or excuse me, Worcester Magazine, we have a cover story on sex. And it was kind of amazing to me that I just sort of skimmed the article. It seemed like it was partially about pickup bars and partially about rapists.
Okay.
Which is a pretty broad brush. Or pretty broad, whatever, kind of a dark...
Maybe independently they would have been too small of a story to flesh out, so they combine them together?
I don't know, but you know what actually struck me? So Worcester Magazine doesn't actually have, like... We should cover this child's ears back here. Worcester Magazine actually doesn't have prostitution ads, right?
I don't think so, no. I think it's just the Phoenix that does that now.
You're right, but so other big city alt-weeklies, you got... Certainly, I remember this Philadelphia... Yeah. Two alt-weeklies there always had that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Village Voice always had that kind of stuff. Big source of revenue for them. But Worcester Magazine, do you know this background for why Worcester Magazine doesn't have this?
And they used to have them, didn't they?
They did. Yeah, this is my understanding. I remember somebody telling me this years ago. I wondered if you knew all the blow-by-blow of this. Maybe it's a little before your time.
I look forward to you telling me.
I don't know. I don't remember what it is. I think, like they used to have this, and then at some point it was like...
complaints on a local level. If I remember correctly, it was just reader complaints that they decided to pull all the hooker ads.
Yeah, I think I don't know. I guess I think that's interesting because I think, you know, this week there's a lot of stuff about the Craigslist adult listings.
Well, there's a new market for it because of that. You know, a lot of those ads that you see in like the Phoenix and what have you are really just duplicates of what runs on like the Boston Craigslist. Now that Craigslist isn't advertising sex services or adult services in the U.S., a lot of potential revenue to be pulled in there. Although right. Worcester never really had the Worcester Craigslist was never really had a very robust. You know, adult services section. I think most of our adult services still are just meander up and down the main south area.
This is probably in the article. I need to read more of that article.
It was a pretty good article. I mean, there were some interesting details there. I mean, they were talking to like sex shop owners and whatnot, and talking about like their most popular toys. I mean,
also Barbara Haller.
But that's something that I don't think
our sexiest counselor.
I don't think that's something you would ever get from Roberta Schaefer in the Research Bureau as to like what are the best selling sex toys in Worcester, you know, and like what markets are growing faster than others. Apparently the anal sex market for toys is growing faster in Worcester than any other segment of the market.
Not so
good to know, right? I mean that's the sort of granular stuff that you don't really get to hear about Worcester.
That's true. You guys got anything exciting going on this week besides Irish language? Anything people need to know about?
Well, actually, my son's just about to start some classes at the Tri-Community YMCA in Southbridge, and for anyone who has preschool-age children, I recommend the Southbridge Y. They've got a wonderful preschool program there, and this fellow's going to be taking 5 different classes, 2 of them on Monday, and 3 of them on Monday and 2 of them on Friday. And the prices are extremely reasonable. It's worth the half-hour drive from Worcester to go take advantage of these classes and the inexpensive prices. Go have a fun morning with your preschooler in Southbridge.
Awesome. Do you have anything else, Brendan Mellican?
Not really. I usually fall back on you. It's usually so well prepared.
I think we just sort of run over the details of stuff this week.
Yeah.
I mean, there's this election coming up. I'm looking at the yard signs, getting ready to write my yard sign roundup. All the Marty Lamb signs are gone.
Stolen or?
I don't know. Like, I can tell you. Here's what I can tell you. I can tell you that I had a bunch of photos of signs, yeah. And then like I had it on a weird recording medium, and then that camera broke. So then I went around to take them all again with another camera. No Marty Lamb signs. Hmm. Even the people who have like the total like every Republican sign collection. Have no Marty Lamb sign now. Did Marty Lamb aggravate people?
I think Marty Lamb is aggravating a lot of people, but I don't know that enough about the sell signs. Maybe I don't know how to sell them.
I've seen signs like sort of wantonly destroyed during this election cycle, but not like any candidate targeted. Not that I know. I mean, there was a day when I saw a bunch of Joff Smith signs ripped out, and I thought, oh, somebody's going after Joff Smith. But then I would see like everybody else's signs ripped out.
It's a back and forth sort of thing. It's no one campaign it escapes the wrath of sign destroyers.
This is kind of like actually, you know, people talk about horse race journalism of politics as being the worst kind, but this is actually even worse than that. Probably is talking about the lawn sign situation.
The lawn sign situation.
Anyway, I just wondered if something had happened with Marty Lamb that the papers weren't reporting about.
No.
All right. We had one comment this week from I think Joe Scully saying we should encourage Marty Lamb's candidacy for the humor value, and I don't know, I kind of like that, but I also kind of feel like we face a lot of difficult challenges. I feel like politicians are not necessarily the solution to many of our challenges. Sure. I feel like they are often though the cause of many of our challenges. Mm-hmm. So I do feel like elections are important in that sense, like trying to get people who are not going to screw things up too bad. And so I actually don't support any candidate for humor reasons, honestly.
No, but I think there's something to be said from, you know, if Marty Lamb comes out of this race, I think we're going to have a far more entertaining back and forth discussion between Jim McGovern and his opponent then. If Brian Herr comes out, I think it's going to be a much more reasonable sort of back and forth that you would expect in a normal campaign cycle, but this isn't a normal campaign cycle, so I think we should be shooting for pure entertainment value.
Marty Lamb would sort of be more the candidate of the moment. He would keep us more contemporary.
I think Marty Lamb or Mike Stopa would be the guys that would give us the most bang for our buck in terms of entertainment and through the rest of the general election.
I just want to mention a little observation about Don Sherry, who's running for district representative. You had said to me that maybe this is coming out of the first district rep debate, that Sherry was like socially conservative. This is sort of where he was coming from. Mm-hmm. This is what he was talking about. This is what people were seeing him
it
as.
It seems to be the thing that has stuck with him, and I think a lot of that comes from perception that he was involved with Some of the groups that were pushing back against citing different social programs in the Tatnik area. But it's arguable whether or not he actually was involved in that. It seems as though, as a neighbor, he was more just concerned about the location and was having a hard time engaging some of the groups who were citing those services in the area. We talked about this a little bit last week. I think this has been a race where it's really hard to put a finger on what exactly everybody stands for. And I think that is included there. People are kind of just assuming that he's more socially conservative, but you know, he's never actually said anything that would lead anyone to believe that he's more socially conservative.
Well, the thing that I noticed was my fellow Catholic blogger from the other end of the political spectrum, Jay Gillette, oftentimes publishes like the local, I guess it's maybe a state email, pro-life email that goes out, and they had candidates who were being endorsed as being pro-life, and there was almost no Democrats on the list. And Don Scherer was not on the list, which I thought was, again, interesting.
Was or was not?
Was not, not that I saw. Yeah. At least, I mean, he's posted a couple of them.
Anybody in this race who has come out, in terms of the Democrat primary, who has come out with either strong pro-life, pro-death penalty, any of the things that might be viewed as socially conservative. Although, is that considered socially conservative?
To be pro-life?
Pro-life and for the death penalty? Is it?
I don't know. The death penalty is a weird one. I don't know. It was actually good to hear. Like Don Cherry talking about. Like he was definitely using in the last week a little bit of Catholic social justice-y talk, which is always warming to my heart because I feel like, you know, the cafeteria Catholics of the left like to ignore certain things, and the cafeteria Catholics of the right certainly like to sometimes ignore social justice-y stuff.
Right.
So it was just a relief to see somebody who was doing another dog out here this morning.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care.